Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham, and with us today is the one, the only, Jeremy Schneider is here, ladies and gentlemen. He's a marriage and family therapist. He's got a fantastic new book, came out earlier this year, called Fatherhood in 40-Minute Snapshots. Welcome to the show, Jeremy. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you so much, Justin. I'm so happy to be here.
Are you really like, I don't know. I've never written a book, but I imagine doing a lot of interviews about talking about your books and can sometimes be kind of a pain in the ass. But has it not been that experience for you?
It has not been that experience. And I think a lot of that may have to do with one, it is my first one. So there's still some excitement from that. And two, you know, it's a good subject matter. I'm talking about my family.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's hard to,
I could probably do that all day anyway. You
know? It's hard to complain about talking about your family. I do it on the show constantly. So
right.
In that sense, right. I can relate. So first let's let everybody
I can pose the same question back to you.
Exactly. Except I do the interviewing around here. Okay, Jeremy.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
So let's get to know you. You have how many kids?
Two.
And then can we find out like gender, age, all that stuff? Is that cool?
No, I'm sorry. I wrote a book about my family, but you are not allowed to know anything about
it. Oh, it's a spoiler? Is it? Does this?
Yeah. No, I have 15-year-old twins.
Wow.
And it's boy, girl.
Wow.
So one of each. Yeah.
Twins.
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about the twin part. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
So that's like 30 years of parenting.
Yes. Yes,
all
it is.
Wrapped up right here.
And you're only 28. It's so great.
I know. It's amazing, right?
So So we're definitely going to talk about twins because everybody's – and we're going to ask you the same stupid questions that everybody asks. So buckle up for that too, Jeremy. Let's get through our usual list of questions that we ask all of first-timers on the show. Do you have a hall pass list, and are you familiar with the hall pass list?
I'm embarrassed to say I am not familiar with the
whole Don't be
list.
Embarrassed because you are a marriage and family therapist. And I think by the very definition of your title, to know what the hall pass list would be to imply that you are not good at your job or following what you preach. The hall pass list, my good friend, Jeremy, that I will now introduce to cause strife and passive aggression into your very own marriage, is a list is somebody. Usually it's about mine. I only have like one or two. But some people have had up to five celebrities that
yes,
if said celebrity
yes.
were to approach you, I don't know why, but in an airplane or airport gateway and say, listen, I don't know what it is. Maybe there's something about your musk, something about the vibe you're putting out, but I need to have whatever I can of you, total stranger, in this moment of passion that you can then take advantage of that offer with zero repercussions
with no
from your
consequence.
Lover. Yeah, no consequence whatsoever because it's understood.
Great. And because it's equal.
Yes, exactly.
She has a list as well.
Exactly.
And you never know when that person might show up.
Exactly. See, you get
yes.
it. You see, this
yes.
this is what
yes.
it is to be a marriage and family therapist, is that yes. you just intuit these kinds of things. You
know,
it doesn't need to be broken down for you, Jeremy.
I'd never heard of it called a hall pass, though.
They made a movie about it. You got to check it out. I'm pretty sure it was an
awesome.
Owen Wilson movie, if I'm not mistaken. And maybe Ed Helms was in there. I'm probably wrong. Jason Sudeikis, I want to say.
Hysterical is, not to get off tangent, but I just saw the between the scenes with Trevor Noah and Anna Kendrick comes out and they're talking to the audience. And the audience first question is to Anna Kendrick, just wanting you to know that you're on my husband's list. And they went through this whole thing about the list, and Trevor Noah had no idea about it.
Oh, really?
And it's so hysterical. I just saw it last night, and now you're asking me about it.
That's interesting. So wait, so somebody else said that Anna Kendrick was on their
husband's list. Who's the husband sitting right next to her?
I'm baffled by this, and I have to get
right.
clarification. So Anna Kendrick is a guest on Trevor Noah's show, right?
Correct.
And
yep.
then Anna Kendrick's husband is sitting there, or who's the guest? Husband?
So there's this. So during behind the scenes or between the scenes, sorry, with Trevor Noah, he just takes questions from the audience. And so she was there. So this is just a random woman said,
correct, you are on my husband's hall pass list. Are you interested? Mostly to embarrass her husband because he's sitting right there.
It must be only to embarrass her husband because I cannot think of another reason.
How does Anna Kendrick take said information?
She basically says, you know, she explains it to Trevor, who's completely lost. And she said, and he says, so wait, you knew you were on this list? And she's like, well, other people have told me that I am on their list, and is like completely comfortable with it. It was really good. It was really hysterical.
I like that. It's easier because I'm a guy, I guess, not to be sexist, but I like the idea of it. I assume that that's how I would take it too. I would be like, okay, it's a given.
Right. It's flattering, but you're not going to do anything about it.
I like to keep things spicy in my relationship, Jeremy, where instead of celebrities now, I choose for my list just other moms in the PTA group just to keep my wife on her toes. You know what I mean? You can understand that. I'm sure that's some kind of piece of advice you've given some of your patients.
After 20 years, Jeremy,
you got to keep it fresh. And the only way to keep things fresh, Jeremy, is to create a little bit of jealousy in a relationship. You know this. You're a professional.
Yeah. I mean, you want to build that distance between the two of you the best you can.
Oh, you get me. I think I just found a new therapist. I think I found a new couples counselor for my wife and I. This is going to be good for me. All right. So back to the question, though. Do you have any celebrity crushes?
Yes. I mean, one of the original ones, I mean, original, not like when I was a kid, but, you know, as when we were a couple was, J-Lo. No, obviously not when J-Lo and I were a couple, but when my wife and I started as a couple, J-Lo was always on that list.
Would it be Jenemy? Would that be your couple name, or would it be J-Lo? How would you? Because you can't date Jennifer Lopez without making a celebrity couple name. Right.
Yeah. I think J-Lo would work out really well.
Yeah. Jenemy. Yeah. Here's the thing. Jenemy is only good for if you want to do a remake of that 90s grunge song, Hey Genevieve, right? Like you can do a parody of that on YouTube. Yeah. But other than that, I don't know Jenemy is good for.
It doesn't seem to have a value of its own.
Yeah. No. I mean, the only thing is that, you know, you've got there. She was with Bennifer, right? Isn't that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I can't remember. I know she's with what's his name? The baseball player now. And I can't remember.
A-Rod.
So is it A-Lo or? Is it Rod Lowe?
Or J-Rod?
And if you're yelling for Rod Lowe, does Rob Lowe turn around mistakenly thinking you're calling him? Because all three of them are at every party, I'm sure.
Right. Of course. Right.
Well, that's
you've never seen my holiday parties.
That's true. then let's see. Last movie you cried at. I would imagine it would be some kind of J-Lo rom-com. Or what's the one where she beats the hell out of the guy?
Well, to take a dark turn on this conversation, uh-oh, I saw Saturday night, We Are Marshall. And I don't know if you ever saw that.
Yeah, no, that's a good movie.
That was intense.
Yeah. Are you a sports guy?
I am a sports guy.
Yeah. And so totally a sports guy. So that strikes a chord.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And then let's see. So
see, I took us to a dark turn.
No, you didn't.
I'm sorry.
No, you didn't, dude.
Go into the next question quickly. So we can
well, honestly, I didn't know. I mean, if you say you're a sports guy and I could, like, to me, I feel I was honestly sitting here going, what's a sports movie that you don't cry at? And I was going to say The Replacements, but I did cry at The Replacements, I think, at some point, but I cry at every movie.
Right. But that might've been because of. You cried so hard. You laughed so hard. You cried.
Although I think
The Replacements is a fabulous.
Right. It's an underrated comedic sports movie.
Absolutely.
Let's see. If you could have any job, Jeremy, what would that job be? Besides the one you have.
Oh, besides the one I have.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say the one I have.
Don't lie. They're not listening, Jeremy. Whoever is in charge of
I love writing. It's the writing part and the helping people part.
Okay.
But I'll stop being cheesy for a second. if I could have any job, I you know what? Being able to fly a plane would be really cool.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah.
I love that whole, ever since I was a kid, flying was just like this mysterious, magnificent thing. So something with flying.
Yeah.
Preferably like fighter jets, not like a big lumbering, you know, 747.
Oh, you don't want to go commercial. You don't want to be the guy who's walking around in the airport in the uniform going, hey, ladies, with the 70s no. mustache. And
no.
You're not.
No.
Oh,
I do. Feel
I misread
like
you entirely. I thought you.
Well, it does increase my chance of the hall pass. Option,
right. That's you know what I'm saying.
Mean? So that's true.
Although most fighter pilots, I assume, will become...
have an even better chance, correct.
Right, yeah. Or, yeah. You know, if you're flying, you know, private planes, as long as you got a solid co-pilot and you know, all of a sudden you take J-Lo out on tour, you know, you throw a few quips, you share... Because I imagine you've also got your degree for your marriage and family stuff, right? So you
right,
tell her, like, listen,
that.
You keep bouncing around these Hollywood guys. You need a down-to-earth, kind of nerdy dude... That's who's going to be your soulmate. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry, Justin, did you just call me nerdy?
No, I'm saying that you would recommend in the rom-com, you would recommend that she find a nerdy guy, but she doesn't see you as nerdy. And that's what makes the story arc make sense, because she just sees you as pure, raw sexual energy. And so she goes out to try and find her nerdy guy. And then you have the misunderstanding of like, well, why isn't she even talking to me? I'm what's best for her, right?
Yeah,
and then you have the falling out when she finds out you only said that because you were trying to suggest her, which is very unethical for a therapist to do. You know, it's lots of fun in this.
True.
But you want
to
be.
Usually, it takes longer for people to realize I'm a nerd, and I just—it's weird that you sniffed that out so quickly. That's kind of where I was.
I'm sorry. Maybe I'm also intuitive. But you.
We're running out of the mystery in our relationship, Justin.
Uh-oh! Now you and I are having a little bonding. Speaking of fighter pilots. Oh, yes, indeed.
Oh, my goodness.
How about that pull, huh? You know how long I've had that just sitting on a hair trigger, just waiting for somebody to bring up either homoeroticism or fighter pilots? And you brought up both at the same time, my friend. Oh, thanks.
Well, you know what? I came prepared. So.
You came ready to play. All right. So now we take a little bit of a more of a serious turn, kind of, although you don't have to. We'll see how it goes. What do you want most for your kids? What is there a thing, a value? What is that thing that you want most for your kids?
That's a great question. So to get slightly serious, I am just about finishing an ebook that I'm going to make available soon. And the introduction of the ebook, I focus on kind of that, what I think of as kind of the parental promise. You know, we want our kids to have it better than we had it. And I think what's happening now is, particularly with guys like us who are more involved in being a dad, that parental promise needs to shift. And we can no longer say, hey, we want our kids to have it better than we did. And that means that they have a better education, they have a better house, they have more money, that these kind of financial things, they have a better quote-unquote American dream than we did, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's harder. The more we're involved, it's a little bit harder to balance work and family. We may not be working as hard. We may not be trying to quote-unquote climb the ladder the way we used to or the way our fathers did and their fathers did. And so it got me really thinking about that. And I think what I want more than anything, and I've always wanted this for my kids, is to be able to be kind of emotionally healthier and happier and more satisfied than I had as a child and had as an adult until I started doing some work on myself.
Oh, that is it. So it's not just about being better, right? Because that doesn't lead to happiness. I'm trying to break this down for my stupid brain.
Yeah. I mean, I think our parents, you know, I think about the way my dad was, for instance, right? Uh-huh. I mean, my dad was a lawyer. He worked enormous hours, And, you know, he provided for us in that traditional father role. And, you know, my wife and I both work in a nonprofit, like in a nonprofit type environment. We both are not going to be able to pull in the kind of money that our parents did. But we've made this commitment to provide in a different way than our parents did. Mm. And I think that's kind of the key is what is really that parental promise of giving you more? And yeah, I think it's a kind of more of a life satisfaction and an emotional health piece than financially.
Right. It's what we would call fulfillment over correct. What we would put success, but calling that success, I think it implies a little bit of quotes needing around it because you can have emotional success, right? Familial success, and that doesn't necessarily go hand in hand with financial success.
Correct.
Oh, I like
and certainly financial success does not necessarily go along with the others.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Last question is the last argument you had with your spouse, because I'm always fascinated by this because especially when I have therapists on the show, is that I feel like you are uniquely equipped to have jujitsu level fights with your poor wife and that she can never win because of your degree. What I've also found is that
only that were true.
Right. Is that ironically is that the degree sometimes gets in the way. Because anytime you try to use your jujitsu, it's not fair, right? And you're just playing that you think because you know how to read an ink blot, you know better.
That's interesting. I don't even think it's either of those two. I think it's that, you know, we've been together for more than 25 years. She knows every move I'm going to make, you know, I can't out jujitsu her anymore. I mean, maybe in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
But no, now it's like she just knows, you know, every one of my buttons, just like I know every one of her buttons, or at least 95% of them at this point, because we've been together so long. So, I definitely don't feel like I have an upper hand or win more regularly than she does, if we were to be honest.
Well, what's the, because I always like the minutia of marriage, right? Like you get in the silliest of fights. What's the last fight that you guys had then?
I just had it and then I lost it. It was this weekend. And it was, you know what? It was over, actually. It was over whether or not to kind of raise our voice at the kids when their friend is over. And that became an issue for us.
Yeah. So if they have friends over, because you're teenagers now, right? They're teenagers. So if they have friends correct. Over and they're being teenagers, let's just say that. I don't have teenagers yet. My sons are 10 and 7. I jokingly but honestly will say on the show that I can't wait till they're teenagers, which everybody always laughs at me about. But, if they're something like, say they didn't do their homework like they're supposed to, and they're screwing around with friends playing Fortnite or just watching a movie or something like that, you're not to raise your voice or even scold them. Like, or is it a thing where one of you says it's okay and the other one says it's not? Or was this more of a fight of like, should we even be doing that at this point? Is it a thing where we should wait until their friends leave because there's more of a social stigma that they carry at this age?
It was a question of, I'll be honest, I felt I had been disrespected in a way that I thought was a little risky. It was medicine time. And I mentioned that to one of our kids and they looked at me and walked away. Almost never happens. Never argue about medicine. They're incredible about it. And I was stunned and caught off guard. Mm. And I said their name very loudly in what easily could be construed as a yelling voice. And that my wife was very unhappy about that. And I absolutely see her point. My struggle was there was this kind of clear lack of respect.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do about that? you know, that it wasn't like, hey, you didn't do your homework, let's deal with that later. It wasn't like, you know, you left crap on the floor, let's deal with that later. It felt very sort of more immediate. But is there another way that I could have handled that? Yeah, there is. And that's the great thing about being human, right? We're not perfect.
And I like the idea of putting it in a way of a great thing about being. It is a great thing in that the bar is usually set low for ourselves, right? Like, although in our own minds, we set that bar way too high, I think, especially as parents. In reality, I always feel like, hey, we mess up. So let's remember, it's like, it is a constant check-in with society. Go, hey, everybody, humans are flawed by nature. Let's not forget that. So everybody keep the bar low. Let's keep the expectation reasonably low. Not too low, so it's insulting, but we're not barbarians. We're not Neanderthals anymore.
Right. We are no longer apes.
Yes. All right. Well, before we move on, I want to talk a little bit about the fatherhood in 40-minute snapshots. Break down the genesis of my understanding is this was a book that you wrote during your 40-minute commute. Where am I missing on this?
Yeah. No, that's exactly it. So what happened was when the kids turned about 1.5, I started having struggles. I didn't have good parents. I didn't really know anything about parenting. I had this degree, which was really helpful in terms of sort of understanding my relationship and understanding how development needs to happen. But that day-to-day piece of sort of dealing with my kids, it was all new to me. And as you know, right? I mean, you're going through this kind of simultaneously, which must be so strange because it's so different from my experience. But you know, you get used to one developmental level and then they get slightly older and they're in another developmental level and you got to get used to that one because it's different and everything you learn from their previous one is either needs to be adjusted or no longer works, right?
Yeah.
You're kind of going through that at the same time, which I honestly just have no idea what that's like. It's hard enough going through it twice at a time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because they each have their own flair, right? Their own style. So what worked for one at that developmental phase may not work for the other one and vice versa. And so I started, having these what do I do? How do I deal with this? How can I be better? And I started writing on the train just to kind of work through some of this stuff. 12, 13 years later, I realized, some of this stuff is really good. Maybe I should put it together and share it with others.
So this wasn't with the intent of writing a book. This was essentially like a journal, almost a therapeutic exercise.
Correct.
Wow. Correct.
Yeah. And then I started to realize it resonated. You know, I would share it with some friends or when my friends would become dads or, their partners would be dads or whatever it was. And I would share it. People were like, oh, I'd never thought about this or, oh, this is really helpful. And I started trying to get them published and things like that. And I had some success on that front. And then, I realized that it would be a really good book. And I broke it up into categories. So it would be kind of, it's not something you necessarily have to read from the first page to the last page. You can kind of go, sleep is just so terrible right now. You just open right to the chapter on sleep and you read a whole series of articles about kind of the challenges I faced helping them sleep through the night and getting them to sleep at night. And, and you can read that. And if it's helpful, which I hope it is, great. And, if you get to another phase, you can look at that or you can read it straight through. But every single article I've written was written on a 40-minute train ride on the Long Island Railroad on the way to work in the morning.
And about how many pages or articles are in this book, would you guesstimate?
There's about 65.
Wow, that's awesome.
But they're all a page to two pages. So they're all quick reads, which is partly what I liked about it. It's you're not going to get too sort of sucked in the sense of having to read something really long. You'll kind of get a nugget. And that's why I called it snapshots, right? So it's fatherhood in 40-minute snapshots. You get these snapshots of a moment in time in my family, a particular issue I was struggling with or a particular moment I'm really proud of, or just a really funny story I wanted to share. They're just these snapshots in time of how my family has, you know, changed over 12, 13 years.
This is a great book for our listeners, because they often will write into me to say that the things I say on the show have been things that they've thought or felt, but felt ashamed of, kind of a thing. And so, not that this is what you put in the book, but what I think it is that what you're getting, this is not a guy who's a marriage and family therapist who's writing a book with the intent of helping you. What I think kind of makes it better is that this is a book that you're getting to read a diary of a guy who went through it, right? Who's going through it, also using this book as a means of kind of processing it and trying to figure out what exactly it is that they're going through, so that you can kind of find stuff in there that you relate, or can it can give you some foresight into what's coming down the pipeline as well. Unfortunately, I have to be a jerk and cut us off there, because that concludes the free portion of this episode. If you would like to listen to the rest of this episode and all of the other full episodes of the Dad Podcast, all you have to do is go to thedadpodcast.com. That's thedadpodcast.com. Include that the. thedadpodcast.com. Right there on the homepage, there are links where you can become a paid premium subscriber and get all of the shows full length moving forward. If you have any issues with that, send me an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.